Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Hi, I'm Liz Wright. I'm just still in the studio from the last show with Nick, and I'm joined with Ross Devent to talk about a queer focus on queer and disability issues today. How are you going, Ross?
I'm really well, Liz. How are you?
Yeah, good. You look really well. You look like things are going well in your life. Two blind people. So, look, really, Queer Focus is a replacement today for Queering the Air in the same time slot. For those of you at home, it's International Day of People with Disabilities. So what we have wanted to do today is have all the ordinary programs that are on in the ordinary time slot on a Sunday and just have a disability focus. So this is a queer and disability focus. So, Ross, let's talk about you.
Ah, thanks.
Tell us a bit about yourself.
My favourite topic.
Yeah. It is, isn't it?
I am 36 years old and I came out as gay when I was 20, to my parents when I was 20.
Yeah.
I came out to myself when I was about 13. And, yeah, thought I would try and, you know, like, when I was about 16, I remember I was trying to like girls. And that lasted about a month. And I'm like, stop this. This is no good.
It's not working.
not working for me. Yeah.
So coming out really at 13 to yourself and then still struggling for a little while.
Oh, definitely. My whole teenage years, yeah.
Yeah. Did you grow up in the city?
No, I grew up in Gippsland in a town called Moe.
So I imagine that in itself too.
Yeah.
And I'm not slagging off Moe at all. I just mean a regional town. You know, there's often seen to be more conservative values and you don't want to make yourself conspicuous by being different in any way, shape or form.
And I was conspicuous enough already through my disability, so I didn't really want to
draw.
And I was pretty shy as well, so it
I really... find that really?
Yeah.
Because I was saying to Helen earlier, who's panelling for us today, I was saying to Helen that, you know, you're a very confident performer.
Oh,
that,
well.
You know, you just can sing off the top of your head and all that sort of stuff. But you were shy then.
Oh, yeah. I was still singing and I actually did a radio show myself when I was in Year 9 in 1997.
Through school or independently?
That was independently in a community radio station called Gippsland FM 104.7.
Is it still going?
Yeah, it's still going, yeah.
Wow, fantastic. That's quite young to be doing a program.
Yeah, and I think that really brought me out of my shell a bit and got me thinking about, you know, I've got to do things for myself rather than just sit back and let the world pass me by. And also performing, and I was very heavily involved with music at the time as well, still am.
So did your school have a...
We had a brilliant music program.
You really did you?
Yeah, it was really great.
So did that involve,
I was playing my trumpet, that was my main instrument, and singing, I did a lot of singing, and piano, I play piano, my right hand is paralysed as well. So I played piano with one hand and sang and all sorts of things.
So you've just got natural musical kind of talent as well. And without sight and with only the use of one hand, you're still able to play trumpet, piano, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, some of the new music we've got on our program here today, people have got limited mobility and play like instruments amazingly. We'll hear some sort of music from other people later on today.
Yeah.
We might go to one of your tracks. So you brought in a track today.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Sam Taylor, he used to sing in a barbershop quartet. He's totally blind and very talented. And we're going to hear a little bit. We don't have the whole track, but unfortunately, because it's quite long. Bohemian Rhapsody from a group called Freefall. And he's the bass voice in the group.
Wonderful. Okay, here it is, Freefall.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no come, easy go, little high, little low, anywhere the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pull the trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life has just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Oh, nothing really matters.
Just as if it doesn't really matter any.
Too late, my time has come. Sent shivers down my spine, but he's aching all the time.
Fantango, thunderbolt of lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo, Figaro,
Magnifico. Oh, I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
No bloody wonder, have you seen his family? Spare him his life from this monstrosity.
Teasy come, teasy go, will you let me go?
Miss Miller, no, he will not let you go.
Let me go.
Miss Miller, he will not let you go.
Let me go. Let me go.
Never, never, never,
let me go.
Go.
No, 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 no,
no.
Mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me.
Put aside
for me.
Put aside for me.
Put aside for you. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here.
I'm just the same as everybody else.
Disability Day on 3CR, 12 hours of community radio by, for and about people with disability.
Oh, that was so much fun. What a great arrangement.
Yeah, that was great. It was Sam Taylor. He actually arranged that, I should have said at the start. So he arranged that for the group using Braille music, I'm sure, and he wrote out all the parts. And
wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's so contagious. So there's four of us in here now and not one of us sat still or didn't contribute in any way, shape, or form.
It was fabulous.
It was great. It was fabulous.
So welcome to you, Kira Lee. Thanks
Thank
for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you for having me.
You caused some drama, Kira Lee.
Yeah, it was a little bit of excitement. Is she coming or is she not?
My bad.
So, Kira Lee, you've made your way down from Geelong today.
Yes, I have. Yep.
Was there any rain?
No, there was a bit of a downpour in the morning, but
you were safe.
Apart from that, it wasn't too bad. No.
So we started off talking about Ross's story about being queer with a disability.
Absolutely.
So I'm just going to launch straight into asking you some questions about that. Mm. So today on Queer Focus, we're just sort of exploring disability in the queer world.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's the same world as everybody else's world, but, you
Absolutely.
Know, there's obviously stuff that has informed or happened to you along the way as well. So tell us a bit about you.
Okay, so I'm Kira Lee. I'm a 30-year-old genderqueer lesbian with a disability. I live with spina bifida, and I'm also a double leg amputee, a bilateral leg amputee, since about the age of 21. I grew up in Ballarat.
Another country person,
yes.
I grew up in Bendigo. That's the trifecta. Because we've got Gippsland, Ballarat,
country folk.
Yeah. All right, trifecta happening.
Dawn's not country, is
yeah.
Oh, it's kind of semi-city now.
Yeah, well, but when you grew up there, it would have been less developed than it is now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in Ballarat up and lived there up until about the age of 19. Did all my schooling there.
Yeah.
And, you know, life growing up with a disability and obviously slowly over time discovering other elements of my life. It wasn't an easy journey. It was a strengthening. It wasn't an easy journey, but with that lack of ease came strength, I think.
Mm.
I've gone through the bullying. I've gone through the you know, feeling like a bloody outcast. I've gone through all of that. But if there's one thing I'm very bloody lucky to have is, you know, parents that were, especially my dear mother, who instilled strength and courage and resilience within my human fabric, if you will.
You mentioned a key word there, resilience. I was going to ask if you felt that, if you feel that you're really resilient, because I certainly do.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Oh, that's something I live by, mate. Yeah. That is something I live by. Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you think those three ingredients are the ingredients for pride? Because our theme, obviously, is pride today.
I think without the element of our intersectional pride, you know, most definitely, because we've experienced the stigmas and hardships of having, you know, living with a disability, and obviously, you know, the discovery over time that, you know, we identify with, you know, within the rainbow spectrum, and both are very difficult journeys, but I think they add to our human fabric, our human concrete, if you will, and helps to make us, not break us.
Because I think I kind of think, you know, there's a rainbow family within the queer community. There's also a rainbow family within the disability community, and you know, both. There's spectrums within spectrums, isn't there?
It's like Mexican frying an egg. Have you ever seen that cartoon? You know, so it looks the same, like the top of a Mexican hat and an egg in a frying pan. So it's like one of those repeating images. Mm. Like, so you can, yeah, anyway, it's visual.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And I mean, it's very visual. Yeah.
Not only that, but I mean, I for one, have been very lucky to have had some very strong allies over the last, you know, over the time that I've existed, really, but particularly, you know, over the last 3 to 5 years, I've had some pretty darn strong allies, and, you know, some of whom I work with, and I'm very blessed to have them around as well.
That's great to hear. That's really good. When you first left home, where did you move to?
So when I first left home, I moved to Geelong. I was offered a place at Deakin University to study social work back in 2007. So I studied that for about 2 or 3 years with about a gap in between to have surgery. I sort of, after 3 years, I sort of came back after having the year of deferral and fell out of love with it and started another course, and unfortunately that's where 2012, middle of 2012, where I became sick with my conditioners, basically led me to the living situation of where I am now.
So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So
this is a really major
theme
and also for advocacy in general. For advocacy in general, it's a very important issue. So talk about this.
Yeah, so I became sick with a pressure area in middle of 2012. I'd literally just started first semester of another university course that particular year, but right in the middle of it, I got sick. So I was diagnosed with a stage 4 pressure area, which was quite deep, and it got quite infected and nasty. So from there, it was basically 3 months of hospitalisation, surgeries, some treatments, some unnecessary in my then, very confused mind. After that, I was then transferred to a transitional care placement within an aged care facility. There I was meant to be there for 3 months, but ended up being 4 due to lack of recovery and slowed recovery. And there, very much the same sort of thing, feeling like I was isolated, feeling like I was alone.
You were with the wrong group of people. You're a young woman in an aged person's...
Yeah, and I mean, the fact that they sent me there to recover, that defeated the purpose.
And a lesbian taboo.
Exactly. Yeah. All the gay. It's okay.
Let's keep it gay in the age nursing home. Of course, there are gay people in
of course.
And there's lots of work going on with older people in that that capacity and area. But being sick and being placed there because there is a shortage of accommodation for young people is something that you're quite proactive and advocating for, Kiralee.
Yeah, of course. So from there, I had the 4 months in the transitional care placement. And then I was shifted to where I am now, roughly 6 years later. And when I was shifted there, I was only 25.
So now could you leave there, or you still need particular care? So
yeah, I mean, I'm getting to the stage where I'm ready to get the hell out of there. I'm actually making plans at the moment for specialist disability accommodation. Basically, it's going to be close to everything, very convenient. I'm going to have the care that I need thanks to supports within NDIS.
Yeah, because being in that first rollout area.
Absolutely, absolutely, very convenient. I mean, there's a few hurdles to overcome because, yes, it has become mighty bureaucratic since.
That's a mischievous laugh over there, Ross. Sorry. Are you in an NDIS area too?
It is in April.
Okay, so they haven't rolled out yet.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
They rang me the other day and said, you qualify. I'm like, thank God. That's good. Let's get the paperwork happening. So
yeah, we're nearly on the way to freedom, proverbial freedom.
Fantastic. So you're still in the nursing home?
Yes. Yeah. But in saying that, as a young person who does identify as lesbian and genderqueer, living within a nursing home, I've actually been quite blessed in the sense that majority of staff and volunteers within the aged care facility, I mean, they know, and most or majority are pretty supportive, especially during the marriage equality campaign, which I was very active in within Geelong.
Were you active as well, Ross, in the campaign?
Can I say no? I got really, I've got depression, and I got really depressed by reading social media at the time. And so I just switched off. I had to switch off all social media and just focus on what I was doing, and instead of reading all the hate that went into the campaign.
Yeah, and that's I've heard that from other really people hard. As well. That there was just a total media blackout for some people because it was just really interfering with being well.
Yeah, exactly. And I just I kind of had a little breakdown, and my partner, he just said, you just stop reading it. I'm like, oh, but it's so hard not to. And then, once you read something, you want to keep reading it. Mm. And so I just had to switch off everything and just do what I was doing, and hope it came through, which thank for goodness sake, thank you, it did.
Hey, let's go to a track and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about that campaign. You've picked some songs today too, Kiralee.
Yes, I have.
What would you like to hear?
Ooh, I think on this particular note, I would love to hear Titanium, Please, by David Guetta and Sia.
Did you go and see Sia?
No.
There's lots of photos on Facebook.
I wanted to.
There's loads of people dressing up as Sia to go and see Sia.
Yeah.
Where you don't really see her.
I think this song was in the last 5 to 6 months.
You shut it.
I think it's important to be out and proud and not be ashamed of the labels that are given to us. So I can call myself mad and loony and loopy and all those words because I'm giving them to myself and I'm owning them. And rather than being ashamed of being mad, I'm saying I'm mad and I'm proud of myself. I'm not ashamed. So it's mad pride, really, in the way that we have gay pride. Same sort of thing. A lot of my mad comrades, as I call them, use the word mad about themselves because it's saying to the community, you might want to call me mad and be stigmatising of me for being mad, but here I am saying I am mad, but I'm not ashamed of who I am.
Mad pride. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. So we are talking Pride today. It's International Day for People with Disability. I'm Liz Wright. I'm in the studio with Kiralee and Ross, and we're talking about being queer and disabled. We just were talking a little bit about the Marriage Equality Campaign, which depressed Ross because of the backlash and the, you know, people were language warning, just writing horrible, horrible, ignorant shit.
Absolutely.
And it was being touted by our politicians and major bureaucrats in the country. It was disgusting.
And my friends just, you know, talking about, you know, they saw, you know, some yes stuff, campaign stuff, you know, on the streets, and then they saw some no stuff, and it's just...
Some of the no campaign stuff that I have personally seen has been absolutely vile.
Mm.
Absolutely vile, and just... you, that mindset in this day and age is just... it's sickening. It's disgusting. I don't understand why those mindsets still exist within today's society. Well, I can remember, you know, because I was part, as I mentioned, I was part of the campaign in Geelong. I was primarily on the social media and some of the campaigning stuff as well. And, you know, I couldn't do the whole social media switch off. I basically had to try and kick in the old resilience. But there was certainly moments there that I just felt completely lost and confused. And I think toward the end of the campaign... I can firsthand admit I wasn't mentally well.
You know, people had fatigue and exhaustion from, you know, the vitriol that was around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm maybe bastardising this expression, but equality for the powerful often means oppression.
Yes.
So, you know,
that's true.
Not wanting to let go of anything that's theirs anybody else.
Of course. And I mean, that's so evident in the debate about the so-called exemptions at the moment. Mm. Thank heavens it's flown through the Senate without any amendments added to the Dean Smith bill. Yes, there's still exemptions.
Say flown through.
No, well, there was it was 46 to 12.
That's true.
It was 46 to 12. But in saying that, throughout the Dean Smith bill, there is still some exemptions rather that there's a few that are okay, but there's others that concern me in terms of context.
Yeah. Let's not talk about baking,
because
that was a stupid argument that came along.
Yeah,
and for goodness sake, there's already religious freedoms in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I mean, the church bodies within Australia and the related organisations, they already get enough exemptions. Mm. They get, you know, taxpayers' money. They get fundraising. They get every benefit known to man, and they want more. I don't understand. I don't understand. I really don't.
The sky is not falling in.
No.
As far as I'm aware, then no one's told me so otherwise.
Well, it's on the move, and I'm not trivialising that at all. Like, it's been voted, it's been voted yes, it's been a long and drawn out and ridiculously expensive fight against it.
Absolutely.
But, it'll be great if this is resolved by Christmas. And then I'll have to go to so many weddings next year.
I know. Note to self, find me.
I've got to learn some songs.
Yes, exactly.
Is anyone out there, you know?
Oh, Kiralee, you have to get
call
out.
Me.
Yeah.
Call me.
Now, Ross, you've got stuff coming up for Midsummer. Can you talk a bit about that, what the Slow Collective is?
Yeah, I actually don't know much about them, but... I'm involved in in Description Victoria, which is we just audio describe shows for people who are blind or low vision or have vision impairment. So the blind person goes to a theatre show and they wear an earpiece, and there's a person in the background who's describing what's happening. We're professionalising the service. In Victoria.
Will is fantastic. He has
Will
a great,
great
voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he does. He's got a great voice. He knows what he's doing. He describes really, really well. So,
And the issue is that there's been volunteer service up until this point, and we're getting the arts sector to pay for professional audio description, as they should. They already pay for Auslan and captioning, so why not audio description? So part of that, we've part of Description Victoria, we've got a project with Midsummer, and we're talking to. So there's a group called the Slow Arts Collective, who it's an advocacy organisation, but what they do is through conversations they have, you know, they might have a simple art form like weaving or something like that, and through teaching other community members, that the weaving or whatever it is, they have a conversation. I think an analogy would be something like Kitchen Cabinet.
Oh yeah,
where Annabelle Crabb is cooking with the politicians, and through that have really interesting conversations. So we're doing that. We're getting a group of people who are queer identifying, and blind, and or low vision. We're having a workshop next week, and then another workshop just before Carnival in Midsummer, and then actually at Carnival we're having a safe space where people can come in and have conversations.
And that's at the Edinburgh Gardens
on the 14th of January.
Yeah, okay, great.
So if anyone sees us at Carnival, come in and have a conversation with us.
So is there a website? What could people Google to find you? Just Description Victoria?
Yeah, descriptionvictoria.com. The information's all up on there. So,
okay. What other queer matters can we talk about here between the two of you? Like, queer and disabled, that intersectionality is really interesting. Mm. Plus the living in a nursing home, you know, thinking of moving into another arena. You live down on the peninsula, Ross.
I live with my partner.
Yeah. So how's life going right now for both of you?
At the moment, life's going okay. I've actually just come away from a very busy couple of days with my work. We had all of our end of year celebrations and planning and all that sort of stuff.
You could plug your work because it's disability focused.
Absolutely. So an organisation that I am very, very proud to work for, and have a very supportive clicker family that on board as well, and they've been absolutely fantastic throughout the last 5 to 6 months of this horrendous marriage equality campaign as well. So the awesome organisation that I mention is called Clickability, https clickability.com.au. So that's Clickability, clickability. So basically, in turn, it's a resource, a website where, much like your TripAdvisor or Urban Spoon, where you can rate and review your disability services. You can also contribute blogs or...
Do people rate queer-friendly kind of services?
Yeah, because there are some sexuality-based services on there, and there's also... there's every service known...
Yeah.
On there as well.
So it's not just disability services.
It's basically any service that people with disabilities use.
Yeah.
Whether it be it could be a physiotherapist, it could be occupational therapy, it could even range to taxis.
Okay. So it could have a broader reach than disability. Reach.
Yeah.
But it does cover sexuality stuff too, is queer inclusive.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So that was established by two awesome, in my mind, social workers whom I have a damn lot of respect for, Aviva and Jenna. Those two have been an absolute godsend in the last few months in terms of support. So they started the website back in 2015. I came on board end of May 2015 as their social media boffin, social media ghostbuster, whatever you want to call it.
Do you love that?
Oh, absolutely. I just love working for Clickability. It's an awesome organisation, and I genuinely say that, and I say that from the heart. Like, it's been such an eye-opening experience the whole, you know, two and a half, nearly 3 years. And I've learnt so much over that time, and, yeah, got an amazing family, in inverted commas, behind me as well, amazing supports, and, you know, I'm very blessed to be a part of the organisation.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Ross, what about you? What's been happening?
I
know you sing a lot, and after this you're heading off to carols.
Yeah.
Are you singing in a choir at the moment?
Yes, I'm still singing at St Mark's, or just up the road, Mark's Fitzroy. I do that on I have weekly rehearsals. But what I've been thinking about since I was been thinking about coming on this show for the last few days is I think I'm getting a little bit more circumspect in my old age. I'm 36, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I remember that year.
Oh, come on, I've only just turned 30.
But growing up, I think you know, you're blind, I'm totally blind, so you get pushed around a lot.
to go
in the right direction, literally.
Yeah.
And you try and fit in with society, which is, you know, what every teenager does, and then they try and break out of that. Mm-hmm. But I've worked in the mainstream. I worked for a government organisation for 7 years, so I was very used to towing the party line, but in terms of my work in a call centre, which I had to do, but since leaving that job, I've really thought more about my place in the world, and, you know, I am an artist at heart, and I've got a music degree, and I sing a lot, and I've, you know, very involved in music and theatre, and especially now with Description Victoria, and I just, my place in society is my place, and no one's going to tell me what to do or how to do it. So watch this space.
Okay, all right.
In terms of, I'm writing a book, which I'm getting back into. It's on my trajectory. It's on my radar at the moment to get back into writing my book about what actually happened to me when I had my stroke when I was 5.
Yeah.
And looking at what's going on, how I got to where I am, because I think the social model of disability, because I'm a product of the social model.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I think I've thought more about this, is that as we've got away from the medical model, I've kind of never explored properly what actually happened to me in terms of my medical condition, because it happened such a long time ago. It happened when I was 5, that I'm actually not sure what, you know, I know basically what happened, but actually what the stories were that happened, what we can draw out of what happened to me, I wonder what there is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, because I've basically had my disability since birth, you know, it's been an interesting journey. Like, I can remember when I was young, particularly in those early formative years of, you know, say 5 to about the age of 12, you know, I can almost remember wishing I didn't have a disability. Remember wishing that I was normal. I can remember wishing that I wasn't such an outcast and, you know, fitting in with the other kids.
It's very important to kids.
Yeah.
I remember that too. I still wish I could see and, you know, my
But
life
I guess to like sort of because I did walk up until about the age of 8.5, 9.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did things like ballet and horse riding and played footy with the boys and, you know, did...
Now you can play footy with the girls.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah.
Like things have changed.
exactly.
But, you know, as soon as I reached the age of, you know, 8.5, 9, my walking slowly deteriorated and I ended up in the wheelchair. But, you know, in saying that, the wheelchair, I don't think, has stopped me. And I think Liz is one person who knows my personality all too well. I'm very stubborn.
Well, I see it as determined. You know, that's what I say.
I've always been very stubborn and, you know, headstrong. I make no apologies for it. But, yeah, that's something that hasn't stopped me. And I think, you know, the whole thing of losing Mum when I was young as well, that sort of made me, to a point, even more stubborn and headstrong.
Mm. Yeah. I think people with disability writing about their medical experience in their own voice rather than from a second voice, because often parents will write about their child's medical experience or some other carer or support person.
Mm.
So reflecting upon it and researching it will be probably a big discovery period for you, Ross,
because,
you know, like you're 36, so 31 years ago, what happened? What was the hospital system like then? How were kids treated?
Yep.
How were parents informed? Were parents seen as secondary to, well, that's they right. probably definitely were seen as secondary to medical opinion?
Yeah.
All of that sort of stuff. Yep. It'll be interesting to see what comes out.
And it's going to be interesting to look at, you know, my parents were told that if I didn't have the operation that I had, I would die. But if I didn't have the operation, I would die. But if they did do the operation, they had no idea what I was going to be like. And they told my parents I would never walk or talk again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something that the medical system really did not tell my parents what they needed to know. Although my mother, my mum, hi mum, she's probably listening. she's a nurse. She's a trained nurse, so she knows about the medical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, you'll have a lot. You two together will have a lot to be able to discuss at that time.
Yeah.
Now, as we zoom towards 4 o'clock, I think we should hear another track, just because you've got another one for us, Kiralee, if you're happy to go to that.
Absolutely. This is Can't Hold Us by Macklemore. I was trying to toy up between Same Love and another track, but I think, again, this is a song of strength and resilience. And honestly, I was in a bit of this sort of mood yesterday. I was feeling very empowered and very inspired from the workshop I had just been through over the Thursday, Friday. So I was in this mood. So this is very representative of that as well, but very representative of what we've been through in the Yes campaign as well.
Okay.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't.
Turn to the Mac, get on what it is, what it does, what it is, what it isn't. Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit me, get up. First shot, come strut walking, a little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy up. Glad, moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. That Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Hustling, chasing dreams since I was 14 with the Fortrack. Busting, halfway across that city with the back. Crushing, labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can.
can I kick it? Thank you, yeah, I'm so, so grateful. I grew up really wanting gold fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We rock. Time to go up, gone. Deuces, goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
And we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we brought our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Go back.
This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we brought our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Ah, thank you for that. That was great. That is awesome. A pumped up song. Now we're getting close to the end of the show, and then we've got Raphael coming in to do an hour with guests as well. This is 3CR. This is the International Day for People with Disability. A lot of this stuff will be up on podcasts later on. We've had 12 hours. We're having 12 hours of dedicated broadcasting. As we do each year. And today in the studio with Kiralee and Ross, we're talking about a queer focus of sexuality and disability. So final comments, Kiralee and Ross.
I think the final thing to, you know, draw upon for this International Day of People with Disabilities in terms of a queer focus is that, you know, us folk with a disability in the queer community, we exist. We exist too, and you know we need just as much support, love, equality, etc., as much as anyone else. And we want to be treated the same as anyone else. We don't want to be treated with any different treatment. And one key thing, I think, from my perspectives as well, you know, in terms of, you know, my housing background. And my housing advocacy and many other areas too was, you know, we're in a way sick of being treated like second-class citizens in that regard. And, you know, when you have things like the marriage equality debate come about as well, it kind of reminds you that, hey, you're the world's best second-class citizen.
Yeah. Like champions.
Champions. Yeah, well,
gold medal.
And there are champions out there. Like
we've just won the Oppression Olympics.
Woo! And you're saying in the break, Kiralee, that you feel you have felt internalized homophobia.
Yes,
so have I.
Yeah.
You know,
which led me to not coming out for a very long time, and or, you know, realizing that I in fact was as gay as anything for a damn long time.
Because I was Googling, actually, it was getting me thinking that is there any artists in terms of role models for my identity, my sexuality, you know, blind, queer, blind, gay, paralyzed, singers.
How did your Googling go? Turn up anyone?
No.
Well, then you're like a winner again.
Yeah.
Because you're the only one that you can find so far.
So I went to the piano and I started to make up a little song about myself.
But one thing I do realise within, you know, the LGBTI, like, media or shows or anything like that, or your Netflix series, you know, your Orange is the New Black, or your, you know, for us, you know, the L Word, or anything like that. There's very little characters or characterization with disability or mental health issue, or there is mental health included within those frameworks, but none with disability per se. And there's no Yeah, there's no... I mean, I... There's only a few series that I admittedly watch, but, yeah, there's no characters.
There's more
no
than
idols.
You think, but you have to look them up.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Talk when we leave the studio today. Look, I'd just like to thank you both for coming in today to do Queer Focus on this International Day of Disability Pride here at 3CR. Thank you to Helen Gwillem for panelling for us today. We're going to leave with another one of our Disability Day songs and vacate the studio for Raphael and his horde of guests to come in and do their show today.
And I was just going to say that just because you're disabled doesn't mean you're not queer.
And exactly. Be proud of who you are. Yep. Be proud of who you are.